All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 128. This is the first episode recorded on the new mixer. I hope you guys all enjoy the new quality. I know it's hard to tell, but I guarantee you the interview is where you are going to see it. And that interview will be with Brother Juan Sepulveda. We'll be doing that interview very soon. Not much going on in the way of news. I did want to mention some of the events and causes that are worthwhile and coming up. So first up is an MS walk, which is multiple sclerosis. Brother Jay Medina, Junior Deacon of Guiding Star Angle Lodge No. 65 in the Bronx, New York, who is also the founder of Masons Against MS, has started this walk. And he started the Masons Against MS shortly after he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And they have been moving forward ever since, raising about $4,200 in 4 months' time and looking to raise $10,000 before the walk in May. So a little bit about the cause, okay? Multiple sclerosis, or MS, is an unpredictable and often disabling disease that attacks the nervous system, which interrupts the flow of information between the brain and the body. Most people who are diagnosed with this disease are usually between the ages of 20 and 50, but have been as young as 2 and as old as 75, with symptoms ranging from abnormal breathing, numbness in the body, and loss of muscle coordination. It is estimated that there are 2.1 million people in the United States living with multiple sclerosis. And in 2010, while at work, the right side of his body went numb. This is, of course, Brother Jay that I'm speaking of. He thought that it was nothing more than a pinched nerve, and he ignored it. After the numbness became a reoccurring event, he went to not one but two neurologists, who both missed the small lesion on his brain. It wasn't until the third MRI that it was discovered, and he was later diagnosed with MS. Knowing the possible results of this disease devastated him. He went through several different treatments and medications until he found the right one. He went from one lesion to having four. With the support of his wife, children, and amazing friends, along with the proper medication to keep him stable, he has been living a healthy and productive life with multiple sclerosis. In light of his current situation, he has dedicated himself to supporting the MS community by creating Masons Against MS. Together as brothers, there is no limit to how much money that they can raise to help find a cure for this mysterious disease. Masons Against MS will participate in the MS Walk on Sunday, April 27th, 2014, and sponsors are most welcome. A note from Brother Jay: my brothers, your participation is not only appreciated but necessary if we are to help find a cure for this disease. No donation is too small, and he encourages us to donate whatever we can, because it all makes a difference. Humbly yours, Brother Jay Medina, Junior Deacon, Guiding Star Angle Lodge No. 565, Bronx District. So, for more information, you can visit the NationalMSSociety.org and search for Masons Against MS. All your help and contributions are highly appreciated. Another great walk that will be happening soon in May is the Scottish Rite Valley of Chicago's Walk for Dyslexia. The dates and the websites are being put up still, and they are racing to get it all together. As soon as I know more, I'll let you know. So, next, I want to give you guys a little background. Over the past year, I read a few papers from Brother Alfonso Serrano, and his papers were great. Well, he and Brother Anthony Mongelli, the author from episode 126, they know each other pretty well. So, Brother Alfonso and I started corresponding occasionally. He wrote me recently about this old radio show called Quiet Please. It's an old radio drama from way back. Anyway, in this one particular episode, there was a ton of Masonic significance. In fact, that particular episode, or story, was called Whence Came You? So I had to listen. It did not disappoint. Brother Alfonso and I went back and forth quite a bit talking about it. It just got more amazing as we went on. As I said, it's an old radio drama, and it's a little bit archaeology and a little bit sci-fi. A very neat story. Originally, I wanted to take that whole episode of this old radio drama and put it into one episode of this show, but it's 28 minutes. And then I struggled with perhaps just pulling the Masonic parts out and talking a bit about each of those parts. But then I didn't want to rip out all the rest of the story because I enjoyed it too much. And I think you guys would too. So the first thing I needed to find out was if I decided to play this particular radio drama on the show, would I get in any trouble for copyright infringement? Well, the answer was no, because it's public domain now. So my plan is to play this episode for you over the next few shows. We will progress with 5 to 7 minute segments until we finish in each episode. We should get through the drama in about 5 or 6 shows. I hope you guys like it as much as I did. I'd even entertain a little discussion about it. So, I will put together some sort of forum, whether that's just a Facebook post where we can go back and forth and chit-chat about it, or perhaps I can figure out some kind of way to put together a forum response blog where we can talk about it over the course of the week even. If I can do this, the link for it will be directly in the show links. If you don't see a link there, it's because I couldn't figure out how to do this. And in the event that happens, just check our Facebook page and I'll start a discussion there. And you can chime in all day long. All right, so without further ado, Quiet Please presents Whence Came You?
Quiet Please. Broadcasting System presents Quiet Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please for tonight is called Whence Came You?
I came from Jerusalem. I've traveled in the East a good deal in the last 20-odd years, and I flatter myself that I know my way around. So when I got off the plane at Cairo, I didn't start for the camp right away as a good storybook archaeologist would have done. I made a beeline for Shepherd from the room I'd left a couple of days before when I went to Jerusalem. A bath, a gin and tonic, and a large batch of males in the States. What more can a man ask? In Cairo on a hot night? But of course it was too good to last.
Austin, wake up!
Now, oh, who the...
Hey, it's Abe Feldman.
Abe Feldman? Hey!
Hi, Austin! We got from State
and Valley. Well, I'll be darned. Come on in. What are you doing here? What do you got there?
I do get around, don't I? This is gin and tonic. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but... Come in. Well, sit down. You're the last man in the world that I...
Here, take a gin and tonic before I drop it. Well, look,
I'm in spades, eh? By golly, I'm glad to see you, boy.
I'm glad to see you. I've been looking here for 3 days, waiting for you to come back. Hey, you look skinnier.
Well, you go out and dig holes out there for 6 months, lad. You'll take off some of that fat, too.
Me fat? Go away, you're kidding. Well, get your shirt on and let's go see the town.
Sit down. Come on, what you doing here?
Business?
Yeah, what kind of business?
Newspaper business, Natch. What's cooking in the Middle East and stuff? Say, how do you get more of these things?
We'll get on the bar in a minute. They're colder down there. Well, go on. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, Eddie Heffercamp just called me in and said draw some dough and go east and send up some stuff for the Sunday feature section. The trip's making a monkey out of us again. So, I remember the dear old days on the Midway, you and me, and you're around here, so let's go see the town, huh?
Well, I'll be darned. When'd you leave Chicago?
Day before yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Yep, the loop's still there. They still got the Burlicue shows on South State Street. The Michigan Avenue Bridge is always up. The Cubs are in seventh place. Now?
Now what?
Now we go see the town? Come on, put on your pants.
You've never been in Cairo before, have you?
Me? Not me. Why?
Well, if you had, you wouldn't care much about seeing it, my boy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, women?
You had a good look at any of them?
Have I? Oh, boy.
What?
The one that's waiting for you downstairs.
Waiting for me?
Wow.
What are you talking about? I don't know any women in Cairo.
Well, there's one who knows you.
Why, you're crazy.
I'm telling you.
How do you know?
She's been waiting down there for 3 days. I've seen her.
What'd she look like?
Oh, boy.
Not a native.
Cleopatra.
Is this one of your bum jokes, Abe?
I give you my word of honor.
I don't get it.
Come on downstairs and you will.
So we went downstairs. British colonels, American traveling salesmen, Egyptian army officers. A thief or two, a bevy of the ugliest women in the world. And I don't see any woman waiting for me.
There. By the door to the bar.
And I looked. And there by the door stood the one most beautiful woman I have ever seen in all my life. She was no Egyptian native. She might have descended from one of the marvelously lifelike paintings of a queen of the Hathor dynasty that I'd seen on the walls of tombs 2,000 years old. How can I describe her? I see her eyes were black. Her hair was black and cut in the manner of the days of the shepherd kings that ruled the valley of the Nile 1,000 years before the pyramids were built. Red lips that smiled at me slowly. I felt my knees tremble as she looked into my eyes.
Come on, let's go ask her if she's got a friend.
And when I looked back at her, where'd she go?
Okay, I hope it started to intrigue you, and I know that you guys picked up a few things of Masonic significance already. So again, let's have some fun and discuss it. Check the links in the show notes for the link to the forum or the Facebook post where we can discuss it all week long. Next is a paper entitled The Blue Blanket. It was by Brother Ian P. Watson, past master. Brother Watson is a member of the Lodge of Journeyman Masons number 8, Lodge Elgin and Bruce number 1077, Southern California Lodge of Research. He's also authored several other papers. The Blue Blanket is a Scottish craft banner of great antiquity about which several books and articles have been written. Most, if not all, of those histories, including my own lodge history, contain many inaccuracies due to the fact that the main reference used has been Alexander Pennyquick's history of the Blue Blanket. Unfortunately, several Masonic encyclopedias have also used this as a source for reference. The story of the Blue Blanket has become almost a myth in Edinburgh. The true story of the Blue Blanket is so interesting, it is not necessary to embellish it with fiction. The Blue Blanket is not mentioned by any historian prior to 1482, but Pennyquick states that it is, quote, highly probable that the origin of the Blue Blanket dates back to the First Crusade, 1096 to 1099. The story goes that a number of Scottish craftsmen rallied to the Christian cause, and as a sign of recognition, they carried with them a banner which they hoped to plant on the walls of Jerusalem. This banner was supposed to carry the inscription, "In thy good pleasure build thou walls of Jerusalem," from Psalm 51. The banner at this time was reputedly called the Banner of the Holy Ghost, and those who served under it, the Knights of the Holy Ghost. In his book, Pennyquick quotes some vague French references. He also writes about Pope Urban XI and King William I of Scotland as contemporaries which they could not possibly have been. The former died in 1099, while the latter was born in 1143. It is possible that he has mistaken King William XI of England for King William I of Scotland. In addition, he states that on his return from the Crusade, they dictated this banner to St. Eloy in St. Giles Church of Edinburgh. The chapel of St. Eloy, or patron saint of the Hammerin of Edinburgh, situated in St. Giles Church, was not built until several centuries later, about the beginning of the 15th century. The most likely date of the origin of the Blue Blanket was in 1482. King James of Scotland appointed several commoner friends to positions of title and trust. Among those friends was one Robert Cochrane, of whom he conferred the titles of the Earl of Mar and the Secretary of State. Cochrane was already the king's master mason and was possibly the architect of the Great Hall in Stirling Castle. These elevations in rank incensed the nobility, since they were of the opinion that no man of such low birth should ever be given a title, no matter how much he deserved it. In July 1482, King James assembled his army at the Burr Mire, at the time a large expanse of countryside outside of Edinburgh, but now an area within the city boundary. When the army reached Lauder, a small town of South Edinburgh, the nobles, led by Archibald Douglas, Earl of Angus, rebelled and seized Cochrane and several others. They hanged Cochrane and the others at Lauder Bridge, and thereafter imprisoned the king in Edinburgh Castle. The king was held under the supervision of two of his uncles, the Earl of Athol and the Earl of Buchan. The country was in great turmoil and was in conflict with the English, who were looking to recover the payment of the dowry of the King of England, Edward IV's daughter, Lady Cecily. The English had marched an army of 10,000 men led by the Duke of Gloucester, later King Richard, and were camped on the Burr Mire. The Queen sought help from Provost William Bertram. The Provost and the community took to repay the dowry, which amounted to the sum of 6,000 marks. The mark was an ancient form of money in Scotland. This act stopped the threat of attack by the English. Bertram then rallied the craftsmen who approached the steward of the castle, and the king was set free. King James rewarded the city with many honors. The list of privileges and honors was called the Golden Charter. The craftsmen were given a banner by the king, which the queen personally inscribed with a saltire, or a St. Andrew's cross, a thistle, an imperial crown, and a hammer, as well as the following words, quote, "Fear God and honor ye king with long life and prosperous reign, and we shall ever pray to be faithful for ye defense of his sacred majesty's royal person till death," end quote. The king decreed that the banner should be called the Standard of the Crafts within the Burr. This banner was one of the first to use the thistle as a symbol of Scotland. The banner affectionately became known as the Blue Blanket, from its background color, which reflects the background of the Scottish flag. The Hammermen of Edinburgh were the guardians of the craft banner. The Hammermen Guild included the crafts of blacksmiths, goldsmiths, lorimers, saddlers, cutlers, buckle makers, armorers, amongst others. The Hammermen's seal included an effigy of St. Eloy. According to the first charter of the Hammermen, each applicant for membership was examined by the deacon and masters of their respective craft to determine their worthiness. In 1496, the Hammermen received a grant of the chapel of St. Eloy in St. Giles Church and hung the blue blanket there. They were to pay 40 shillings for the care and upkeep of an altar and its priest. Any member found guilty of a breach of the laws of the charter was fined 8 Scots shillings, which went toward the support of the corporation's altar of St. Eloy in the Church of St. Giles. One of the worst defeats ever inflicted on a Scottish army happened during the summer of 1513. King James IV of Scotland declared war on England and, like James, assembled his army in the Burr Mire. It is probable that the army was 50,000 strong, although estimates as high as 100,000 have been suggested, with another 10,000 men joining it as it headed south into England. According to tradition, Provost Alexander Lauder of Blyth led the boroughs and craftsmen out of the city by the West Bow, West Town Gate, to assemble with the rest of the king's army on the Burr Mire. These craftsmen carried the blue blanket with them to Flodden in the north of England. The Battle of Flodden was a disaster for the Scots. However, unlike many of the Scottish banners at Flodden, the Blue Blanket survived, and it was returned to Edinburgh. King James VI, or the First of England, had cause to criticize the craftsman's work. The craftsman displayed the Blue Blanket to remind him that he had no divine right to do so. King James VI wrote in his Basilicon Doron, or Book of Instruction, to his son, Prince Henry, quote, "They think we should be content with their work, how bad and dear soever it may be, and if they be in anything controlled, up goeth the blue blanket," end quote. The Protestant faith had made the people of Edinburgh more aware of their rights, and the lower classes of society became a formidable force. The blue blanket is held in the care of the deacon convener of trades. During the mid 18th century, the banner was displayed every time the deacon convener and his court sat in judgment in any craft dispute. Over the centuries, several blue blankets have been made. The original banner was 10 feet 2 inches long by 6 feet 6 inches wide. The Museum of Antiquities, Edinburgh, claim they have one of those blue blankets, but I believe it is a copy of the Lodge of Journeyman Masons banner, since we have an identical one in our lodge room. The only blue blanket I know of is a 17th century replica in the Trades Maiden Hospital, Edinburgh. This is displayed in a beautifully carved frame which was presented by 3 members of the Lodge of Journeyman Masons No. 8, who immigrated to California in 1870. The Lodge of Journeyman Masons holds the right to carry the blue blanket since it is the oldest operative lodge in the city of Edinburgh, as all the crafts were included in the incorporation of Hammerman, which was responsible for the banner. It was fitting that the blue blanket be entrusted to the representatives of one of the constituent crafts. The Lodge of Journeyman Masons No. 8 has carried this banner on four occasions at the laying of foundation stones. Number 1, the old Grand Lodge Hall on the 24th of June, 1858. On this occasion, the blue blanket was presented in the grounds of Holyrood Palace to the Lodge of Journeyman Masons No. 8 by the Deacon Convener of Trades in the presence of 4,000 Masons. The second, the Wallace Monument, Stirling, on the 24th of June, 1861. The third, the new Royal Infirmary, Edinburgh, on the 4th of July, 1867. And the fourth, the Duke of Atoll's Memorial Legeriate, Perthshire, on the 10th of August, 1868. The blue blanket is the motif displayed on the tie of the Lodge of Journeyman Masons No. 8 and holds a special place in the hearts of the brethren from that famous lodge. All right, so quickly I want to say that the blue blanket motif that is on their ties is something I'm going to try to get onto the app wallpaper for this week. So before we go, we have to jump into this week's famous Freemason. This week's famous Freemason is Norman Lawrence, or Norm Crosby, born September 15th, 1927. He's still alive. He's an American comedian sometimes associated with Borscht Belt, who often appeared on television in the 1970s. He is known for his use of malapropisms and is often called the Master of Malaprop. He was born in Boston. Crosby went solo as a stand-up comedian, adopting a friendly blue-collar guy-next-door attitude in the 1950s. Norm Crosby refined his stand-up monologues by interpolating malapropisms. In 1968, he co-starred on The Beautiful Phyllis Diller Show, an NBC TV summer series. In 1974, he co-hosted a Canadian variety television series, Everything Goes. From 1978 to 1981, Crosby hosted the nationally syndicated series The Comedy Shop, a.k.a. Norm Crosby's Comedy Shop. In the late 1970s and the early 1980s, Crosby became a commercial pitchman for Anheuser-Busch Natural Light Beer. From 1983 until the program's disassociation with Jerry Lewis, Norm Crosby co-hosted and contributed to the annual Jerry Lewis MDA Labor Day Telethon. He has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame at 6560 Hollywood Boulevard, Los Angeles. Crosby has been a Freemason since 1956, having served as master of at least one lodge and participated in many charitable activities. As of September of 2005, he was a member of the Ionic Composite Lodge, number 520 in Los Angeles, California. Crosby is a native of the Dorchester neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts. He is the son of Anne and John Crosby. Now, if that name sounds familiar, Crosby, then you may have seen him before, most recently hosting the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction's telethon called Celebrating the Craft, which brings me to this next little piece here. This year's telethon is happening again. It will be the third annual Celebrating the Craft event. It will air on May 17th, 2014 from 6 p.m. all the way until midnight. The show focuses on Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite, and the vast talents and accomplishments of brothers throughout the Southern Jurisdiction. Celebrating the Craft is about coming together for a night of laughter, entertainment, and learning that pays homage to the cherished fraternity and esteemed members and supports a greater good. Throughout the live 6-hour program, viewers are encouraged to make a donation via phone or online to be split 50-50 between the House of the Temples Historic Preservation Foundation and the Scottish Rite Philanthropies in the Donor's Orient, as directed by the SGIG or the deputy. In the past, Celebrating the Craft has featured the comedian Norm Crosby, Don Wildman of the Travel Channel as their co-host, winners of the Scottish Rite Has Talent Contest, video submissions from our Scottish Rite Heroes program, never-before-seen footage from the House of the Temple, content highlighting local valleys and their members, and Masonic scholars, leaders, and celebrities. I'm not kidding when I say that this is a really cool thing that happens every year. Well, not every year. This is the third year. But I've watched it for 2 years in a row. This will be the third time I've seen it. It is a really cool thing. It's on the internet only. But There are so many devices out there that let you stream your digital content right to your television. It's very easy to do. Like I said, it is a free thing to do. If you liked the old telethons with Jerry Lewis and the like, think that. But in this way, they're raising money for the House of the Temple and a lot of their other philanthropic endeavors. Again, it's a really cool program. The dates for the program, May 17th, 2014, 6 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. All right, now I need to say thank you to Brother Joseph James for your donation to the show. It helped out hugely. Please remember to fund those screenings in your area for the movie The Freemason, and remember that on February 7th, The Freemason will be out in theaters everywhere, so get ready for a great movie. Make sure you check out the podcast partners Juan Sepulveda and Rob Lewis. Tabs for those guys are going to be on the website, www.wcypodcast.com. If you have a minute and you want to help out the show, please check out the Support the Show tab, which will take you to a page which has all of the options on how to support the show. We have affiliates through freemasonryart.com. Go there, check out the awesome aprons and Masonically themed fine artwork, all done right here in the United States by Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast. Go to freemasonryart.com and use the promo code WCY at the checkout. You get 10% off, and of course, a small contribution comes back to this show to help keep the lights on. We have something very similar through the Onnit Labs. Visit those links for great supplements. And again, use the promo code WCY for 10% off your order. And again, small portion comes back. And if you like the show and you want to access the papers that we read, then check out the show apps available for all the major smartphones like Android, Apple, or Windows. It's there. You'll get access to the show, streaming, wallpapers, and the papers that we read on the show. The wallpapers, of course, are going to be Masonically themed. There's a different one every week. I've never repeated a design. There are plenty of ways, even just a flat-out PayPal donation, if nothing else strikes your fancy. So all the details on everything are going to be there on that tab that says Support the Show on our website, www.wcypodcast.com. And that's it for this week. So I really hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I hope I'm going to hear some feedback on the Whence Came You radio drama. And before I go, just please remember to find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Give us a rating on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to this. Whether you like it or hate it, let me know. As I said, there will be a forum up and running by the time this airs, so check for the link or on Facebook if I somehow can't figure out how to get this forum up and running. I have a ton of great content coming out on the Midnight Freemasons blog, including guest posts, so be ready for those. We always have 3 new posts every week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Check out our Masonic business friends. No kickbacks from these guys, just great businesses owned and operated by Freemasons, like FraternalTies.com for awesome neckwear, PB&J Water for great water filtration products. Product Research Gear is also on there and has fantastic stuff. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys all next week. Stay on the level, and for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.